Well, good morning. It's good to see you all out this morning. We have a very American holiday this week with Thanksgiving, and generally, of course, remember that we should be thankful all the time, but we certainly do remember that this time of year people generally think of being thankful more than at other times of the year. So we want to look at some reasons to be thankful for the local church this morning. And the first thing that you can be thankful for is that I forgot to make the blanks in the outline. So you won't have to fill those in this morning. I didn't realize it until I had already made the copies and I looked at the... I forgot to put blanks in there for you. So you've got the whole outline without having to fill it in this morning. So you can be thankful for that. But there are many things, certainly, about the local congregation that we should be thankful for. We certainly are thankful for the church as a whole, for God's plan to redeem mankind and sending Christ to build the church and on a worldwide scale. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in just thinking about the church as a whole and thinking about all that God did to bring it into existence. The years of working things together through providence as well as miraculously to bring it about, and all of those things that go along with that idea, that we sometimes forget about the local congregation. And certainly, as grand as the entire scheme of a worldwide church is, it wouldn't be much use to us if we didn't have one locally. And of course, we know certainly there are a lot of places where there is no local church, and those places struggle. Because even if someone there were to learn the gospel, where would they go to be with other saints and to worship God? There are some things that we should be thankful for about the local congregation. First of all, we should be thankful for a faithful congregation to work with, worship with, and be a part of. Certainly some places, even where there is a church, it's not a faithful church. It's a church that teaches false doctrine and practices false things. And so to be a part of a church that stands for the truth and worships God as He intended, and to be able to work with that church to spread the gospel is an important thing. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Now he was writing to the local church in Rome, but their faith was being spoken of all over the place. And the same thing can be said of any local congregation that supports mission works to help spread the gospel, and their faith makes it possible for others to hear the gospel and to come to faith themselves. And so we need to be part of that, so that our faith may be spoken of throughout the whole world. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, Paul says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He was thankful for the faith of that local congregation. Thankful that those saints had a place to worship, a place to come together, that they could share that faith together. Jude talks about the common salvation, and he talks about defending or being diligent and striving for that common faith. And he talks about that importance of that faith. Now there are churches all over, in every street corner just about in some places, there are churches. But not all of those churches are teaching what the Bible teaches. Even those who make the claim that they are the church of Christ, they may not always be teaching the things that the Bible says to teach. And so we have to be thankful that our congregation is one that sticks with the faith. And we want to be sure that we actively pursue that faith as a continuing practice of the church. And of course, anywhere we go, we look for another congregation that does the same thing. But secondly, we should be thankful for each member of the congregation. More specifically, for each member who has experienced certain things and who has been involved in certain things. First of all, for each member who has received the Word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe." We should be thankful that each member of the congregation here has received the Word of God. Not only received it, not only heard it and believed it, but believed it and obeyed the gospel. We should be thankful for each member who has been chosen for salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." You realize that from the beginning of time, God had laid out His plan. He had already decided how people would be saved. Even before there was sin, He already had it determined. He already had it, that Jesus is spoken of as being the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It was already in God's mind how He was going to bring about salvation. And He tells us here that it is through the sanctification of the Spirit. That happens, of course, at the time of baptism. We are sanctified. We become Christians at that point. And also through the belief of the truth. We have to believe. And those things working together, along with the receiving of God's Word so that we can believe, make it possible for us to have that salvation. And God has chosen for us to have that salvation. We should also be thankful for each member who has obeyed. Romans 6:17 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." One of the saddest things in Scripture are those people who heard and even believed, but either wouldn't confess Jesus, wouldn't admit Him as the Christ, or wouldn't obey Him, wouldn't follow through with it. It's a sad thing, and it will be certainly a sad thing in judgment for those who knew the truth and had the opportunity to obey it, but refused for whatever reason. And so we are thankful certainly for each member who has obeyed. And also, of course, each member of the congregation, each member of God's church has received God's grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4. Paul says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." We have been given God's grace as a result of our relationship with Jesus Christ, of our willingness to believe in Him. And what a great thing that is. And that's something certainly to be thankful for. And thankful not only for ourselves, not that it's selfish to be thankful that we've received God's grace, but for one another as well. That we're not alone in receiving God's grace. You know, back in the days of Noah, before the flood, of all the people on the earth, it says only of Noah that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can you imagine what it would be like to be the only person on earth who found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Oh, how great it is to know that we're not alone. We're not the only ones. There are others who also have received God's grace, have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But then also, we need to be thankful that each member has been redeemed. Colossians 1:12-14, Paul writes there, "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, I'm always amazed when I think about the world religions that are out there, and so many of those world religions have no hope of being forgiven of sin. I think about the religions that have the ideas of reincarnation, where whatever mistakes you made in this life, when you die, you come back again and you have to fix them yourself. And you have to keep coming back and keep doing it again and again and again until you get it right. How hopeless is that? We know we'd never get it right. I know the old saying, practice makes perfect. But the fact of the matter is, I've never found that practice alone ever made anybody perfect. It may make them better, but I've seen sports players that practiced hours, and yet none of them are perfect. They still make mistakes. They still drop the ball or strike out or whatever the different sport is, miss the basket, whatever it is. They still aren't perfect. I've seen hunters who go to the shooting range and they practice and practice, and boy, they hit that target and they get really good at hitting that target, and then they miss a deer. It happens. It didn't make them perfect, did it? No, practice won't make perfect. So we can be thankful that in Christ Jesus, through His blood, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And again, thankful not only for the sins in our own lives that have been forgiven, but for all of those of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been redeemed. They've been bought back out of slavery to Satan into the freedom that comes with Jesus Christ. The third thing that we want to pay attention to this morning is that we should be thankful for a place. Now, and I don't necessarily mean the building when I say a place, but a meeting place. And that meeting place could be anywhere. We know certainly in the first century they met in homes, they met in rooms of the temple, they met in different schools. Paul in one occasion met in a school. And certainly churches today meet in all those places. Some meet in shops, some meet in houses, some meet under a tree for that matter. But wherever the place is, it's not the place itself, but the gathering. So we should be thankful for a gathering place where we can do these following things. First of all, where we can triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." So this is not only when we're gathered together as the church, but wherever we go, we take the church with us. We are a part of the church, and we take a little piece of it. And you know, sometimes, and I know others have probably experienced the same kind of thing at different times in their life, where you're out and about, and maybe you meet somebody, and you get to talking to them, and they find out where you go to church. And maybe they know somebody else that goes to church, and they say, "Oh, doesn't so-and-so go to church there?" And you know, I'm always glad when it's someone who's living right and being faithful to God. And I can say, "Oh yes, absolutely." But oh, when it's somebody who is, as the Bible describes, those who walk disorderly, somebody who's a troublemaker, somebody who's constantly involved in sinful things and not being faithful to the church, and has been so-and-so go to church there, and you hate to admit it sometimes with certain things. Because wherever we go, whoever we meet, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, they all know us, and we are either a good representation of the church to them, or we're a negative representation of the church to them. And many times, as the saying goes, you may be the only Bible some people ever read. What will they think of Jesus if they read about Him by looking at your life? And so we need to be triumphing in Christ, and we need to make manifest. We need to show the flavor, the savor of His knowledge everywhere we go. We need to be, as Jesus said, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we need to do that not just when we come together, but when we go out. In fact, in some ways, it's even more important when we go out to show the people outside the walls of the church building what the church really is, so that they won't think that it's just a brick-and-mortar building that sits on the side of the road, but that they'll realize that the church is living and active people who are trying to imitate Christ in their daily lives. We also can be thankful for a place where we can help through prayer. 2 Corinthians 1:11, Paul says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." They were helpful through their prayer. How many times has someone said to you, "Well, I'll pray for you"? Or how many times have you said to someone else, "I'll pray for you"? How helpful is that prayer? Now, we know, you know, that person's prayer in and of itself, we may not ever hear that prayer. Somebody could be praying for us and we not even know they were praying for us. But there's something about someone saying, "I'll pray for you," and knowing that that person will pray for you, that makes it easier to bear whatever struggle you're going through. To be able to help through prayer, and we can do that through the church. Outside the church, people pray all the time. But God doesn't answer the prayers of those who are not faithful to Him, those who are not believers in Him. He doesn't answer their prayers. But inside the church, we have a place where we can help through our prayers. Our prayers will reach the ears of God. We also, in the church, should be thankful for a place where we can have fellowship in the gospel. Philippians 1:3-7. Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace." You see, the church in Philippi had helped to support Paul financially, as well as obviously with their prayers and their love and concern for him, but they had helped him financially. And because of that, he says, "You have become partakers of these things with me. You've helped me spread the gospel." And again, we do that when we give of our money to the church, and then the church gives to support certain organizations out there, certain missionaries out there, certain people that do spread the gospel to others. And that helps the furtherance of the gospel. And we have fellowship in the gospel when we do that. We need to be thankful also for a place where we can love all the saints. Now sometimes that's a struggle. The old saying is, to dwell with the saints forever, that will be joy, but to dwell with them here on earth is another story. To dwell with the saints in heaven will be glory. That's the word I'm looking for. To dwell with the saints in heaven will be glory, but to dwell with them here on earth is another story. Sometimes we find it difficult. We struggle to get along with one another. We have different personalities. We have different likes and dislikes, and sometimes that can cause conflict among brethren. But we can overcome that with God's love in our lives, and we can love all the saints. Even those that we don't get along with. Is it possible for two Christians not to get along with each other? Well, Paul and Barnabas certainly had their falling out, didn't they? And yet they still loved each other. They just couldn't get along too well, close quarters. But we need to love all the saints. Colossians 1:3-8, Paul says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So several times here he mentions love, and it's interesting, he mentions the fact that the gospel brought forth fruit in them. From the very beginning it brought forth fruit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. As we grow in our spiritual life, our ability to love others should grow as well. We shouldn't be stagnant in our love, but we should be growing in love. And as these Colossian Christians, that he had heard not only about their faith, but he had heard about their love for all the saints. That's one thing that the church needs to be known for. Their love for one another. Jesus said it, didn't he? By your love for one another will all men know that you are my disciples. Now we try sometimes to go around that, and we try to let everybody know that we're Jesus' disciples because we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week. Well, we should do that, but that's not what Jesus said would let people know. Sometimes we try to let people know we're Jesus' disciples because we don't have instrumental music. Well, we shouldn't have instrumental music. He certainly doesn't want us to. He told us to sing and to make melody in our hearts, and we should do it the way He said. But that's not what He said would let people know that we were His disciples. He said that our love for one another is what would let all men know that we're His disciples. And so if we do all of the little doctrinal things, even the nitpicky thing, like the Pharisees who tied the mint and the anise and the cumin and all the dill and all the little herbs out, they tied every little tiniest thing, make sure they got that right. But Jesus condemned them because He said, you've left undone the weightier matters. And one of the ones He listed was love and justice and mercy. And so love is so important for us to have love for all the saints, as well as for all the lost out there that we want to see come to Christ and become saints. Now then we also want to be thankful for this place where we can work in faith and love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." And he continues to go on talking about what a great thing it is. He says down in verse 8, "But also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything." He talks about this work that they were doing and their faith that brought that work about. We need to work in love and faith, and we do that within the church. We do that as members of Christ's body. His body is going to work good works, and it's going to do it with faith and love. And if we're not, then we're not a good part of His body, because that's what His body would do. But we also can be thankful for a place where we can bring joy to one another. Don't you love to see somebody smile? I tell you what, even if they've got rotten teeth, it's still pleasant to see somebody smile. Even if they're all missing and you got two teeth in the grin, it's wonderful to see people happy and joyful and smiling. 1 Thessalonians 3:9. Paul says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" He said, the joy that you've brought us, it's so great that we can't even give God enough thanks for it. Oh, a smile can make your day. It can make the difference in so many areas of our lives. Having some joy. Looking at the good things in life. Knowing that we have a home in heaven waiting for us. And that joy is something that no one out there could take away. You know, there aren't many things that can't be taken away from us, but the things that can't be taken away are the best. They're the most important. You know, people could take away our houses and our cars. They could take away our clothes and our bank accounts. They could take away our friends and loved ones, our family members. Death can take those things away from us. But there is no power on this earth that can take your joy away from you unless you just give it up. I remember the story being told of one of the men who survived the Nazi concentration camps. And after having suffered all kinds of mistreatment, he finally realized that, you know, there is one thing that I have that they can't take away from me, and that is my ability to choose my own attitude. What attitude are we going to have? Is it going to be one of thanksgiving and joy? Or are we going to be miserable and miserly and grumpy and curmudgeonly all the time? Which is it going to be? It's our choice. Well, so-and-so maybe. No, they didn't. Nobody else can make you any way. You get to choose. When we realize that, it will bring joy just knowing that we have the choice to choose joy for ourselves. But we can also be thankful for a place where we can grow in our faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." There's that love again, but this time we're focusing not on the love, we're talking about the faith. Their faith grows. Sometimes we may feel like our faith is kind of withering. May need to be watered a little. May need to be fertilized a little. We're afraid our faith may die out sometimes. We're struggling. But the church is a place where we can come to have our faith grow again. Where we can be reminded of Jesus and His sacrifice for us as we were this morning as we took the Lord's Supper. Where we can be reminded that we're not alone, that there are other people who care. And our faith in God and our faith can grow. Our knowledge of the Scriptures can grow. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the more we get to hear the Scriptures, the more our faith can grow. And we can be thankful for that opportunity. Also, we can be thankful for a place where we can make wonderful memories. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, "I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." You know, I often hear people say, talking to me, especially those who've been members of the church for several years, and they'll mention somebody and they say, "I remember brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or this person, and I remember they used to do this and that and that." And they tell me that, and they have these wonderful memories of those Christian brothers and sisters and the things they did. Sometimes it may be parents or other family members. Sometimes it's just somebody that was in the church here. Sometimes it may have been somebody who was the preacher here. But they have these memories that they have because they were in the church together. It's a place we can make wonderful memories. You know, we sing the song. We have the song in a songbook about the church family. And how sometimes we laugh together and sometimes we cry. You know, but we have these memories. And it talks about some who've gone on before us. But we still remember them. And in that sense, they still live in our hearts and in our minds. As long as we remember them and have those wonderful memories. We need to look for opportunities to make wonderful memories. Now those things don't often happen by accident. We have to work at it. Times where we have fellowship together. Times where we can get together and enjoy one another's company. And that makes for wonderful memories. Times when we can laugh together. And even times when we can cry together. Some of those memories even though they're sad memories, in some ways they can still be wonderful for us to know that during those difficult times, when we were sick, when we lost a loved one, when we were suffering in some other way, that we weren't alone, that we had others around us that cared for us. And those can be good memories as well, even though the reason for them may be sorrow. But then, finally, we want to notice that we have a place that we can be thankful for, where we can share our suffering. We can share our suffering. 1 Peter 2 and verse 19, he says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully." He said it's worthy to give thanks to God when we suffer for being a Christian, when we haven't done anything wrong, but we suffer. It's wrong for us to have to suffer, but we suffer anyway. And he said that's something we can still give thanks for. And we have a place where we can come together and share our suffering so that, again, we know we're not alone. You know, when Peter and John had been arrested and beaten and then they were sent out, you know what they did? Of course, it says they went out rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer that persecution for His name's sake. But do you know what they did? Do you know where they went? They didn't go to the restaurant and get a meal to ease their sorrows. They didn't go to the bar and get drunk to ease the wounds, pain. They went to the church and shared with the church what had happened. Told them all about it. Yes, we have an opportunity to be able to share our suffering together and know that we're not alone. Are you thankful for the local church? I hope if you weren't before that you will be now. But certainly we need to be thankful for the church on a global scale. But we need to be thankful for the church that we're a part of locally as well. We need to be thanking God in every prayer, upon every remembrance of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here in Faraday, or for those of you who are visiting in your home congregation. We need to be thankful for that. And we need to enjoy the blessings that come from being a part of God's family. If you're here this morning and perhaps you're not a part of that family, you're missing out on all of those blessings by not being a part of the church. You can become a part of the church today. It's simple and yet profound. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Son of God, and willing to submit to be baptized to wash your sins away, you can put Christ on in baptism and the Lord will add you to His church, His body today, His family. He'll adopt you into His family today. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been thankful to God for the things you should have, maybe in this area or maybe in some other area of your life, you haven't been grateful to Him, or perhaps you have some other need for prayer of the church. Whatever need you may have, please respond as we stand and as we sing.